Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me today in the studio is the producer himself. No gel in his hair today, Pat Hamilton.
Good day.
Good day. Good day. And our friend and yours, he's back, Steve Kalaszewski.
And howdy day to you, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Howdy day. Where am I? Where am I? You're listening to VFN Radio. There's a heat wave in New York. Stay cool. Come on inside and listen to VFN Radio. We're going to talk about the servants of God today. All in the first hour. VFN Radio. Where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light of the world. Wendy in Jersey. Keep the good news going. That's awesome what you're doing for the hungry. Texas. Talk to us. Everything's bigger in Texas. Horses that Dairy Queen, everything out there. Oh my goodness, another day of VFN Radio. How are we doing today, fellas?
Doing wonderful.
Glad to be here.
Listen, I always say, man, hey, five fingers on each hand, five toes on each feet.
On
bless.
Each feet?
Yeah, you know, five toes each
feet. How many
feet
you got?
I got 2 feet.
Okay. Oh,
2 foot, 2 feet.
Just checking.
Hey, listen, the point is, Pat, we're healthy. We're alive.
Thankful to be here.
Listen, there's so many people that complain about problems. And listen, there's a guy today sitting in the hospital, and he's got some problems. There's somebody, you know, who's being thrown out of their place to live. They got some problems today. There's some people right now that are hungry. Mm-hmm. They've got some problems today. But let me tell you something. There's no problem that the Lord can't take care of.
Amen.
Amen to that.
My goodness. I'll take a day here living well. Come on. Than a bad day anywhere.
That's right.
But I'll take a bad day in Jesus now. Over a good day without him. I'll tell you, that's a fact.
Amen to that.
Been there, died there.
Oh, my goodness. And don't want to get the t-shirt.
Don't want a t-shirt.
Don't want the t-shirt.
I burned them all.
There's a heat wave right now hitting New York. 100 degrees yesterday.
What?
100 degrees.
I think it was possible.
Wow.
Oh, let me tell you something. Man, it is like a sauna. I've experienced.
In New Jersey.
Listen, I've experienced, you know, the warmthness of the South and in Gulf Coast, and I've witnessed the heat in the North. There's something about the heat in the North. I mean, the buildings, the concrete. I don't know what happens, but you can see steam come off of the concrete. I mean, it's like a sauna.
Yep.
Well, isn't it true that there's not that many air conditioners either, because normally it's cooler.
Well, I don't know.
It's just different.
I don't think there's a lot of air conditioning because just the summer doesn't last that long. It really doesn't last long at all. I mean, it just started getting warm. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, it was 60 degrees.
Really?
You know, yeah, it was still pretty chilly.
Wow.
The weather's been really just weird. Just, you know, it doesn't stay hot long, but it can get hot. And when it does get hot, you've got the concrete that's just, I don't know, just...
Yeah,
that's like a radiator because it absorbs it because most of it's black, and, you know, asphalt.
Ah.
So it absorbs the heat. That means it just radiates like an oven.
Yeah, and then you have all these buildings if you're like in the city, so you don't have like the wind circulation. You don't have any like fresh breeze. You're just, it is blocked. And then you have, you know, if you're in traffic, you have, you know, all the pollutants. It's horrible. It's just like... So cheer up, New York, New Jersey. Cool off. Turn on that air conditioner. Put roll the windows up, and make a mad dash into wherever you got to go where there's AC. But stay out the heat. The heat and be cool. We have a program. My goodness, Steve, talk to us, man. How you been? I know you didn't get a chance to share with us yesterday, but we talked about what happened over the weekend where all these folks. I mean, pull me off the road, man.
Yeah.
I'm driving down the interstate, pulls me off the road. And I was overwhelmed by, my goodness, the patriotism. Like, the people that were willing to give up a Saturday in the hot sun and come on down there to support Staff Sergeant Thomas, who was killed, in Afghanistan, I believe.
Yes.
And, my goodness, they said, we're going to form this wall of love. That's pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, it's encouraging as an American to be able to see that people that, one, who didn't even know him, but then, two, you have the generations that served before. You have people in different branches. And there was the young gentleman, I forget his name, who said, I didn't know him, but he's a brother. You know, you put on that uniform, we're all fighting for the same team.
Yeah.
And that's powerful to see people to rally in support of him, and knowing the fact that, you know, this is one of the brothers, one of those that were fighting for the very freedoms that I have.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was one that fought for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know you had a chance to serve our country and and defend our country. We appreciate you for that, but that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's encouraging, too, when a lot of people have that perspective because, I mean, this just like you're saying, just the weekend, also down in Florida, it's been hot, and that humidity definitely adds that degree of just hotness to it. And I guess one of the reporters asked somebody who was in the crowds, saying, you know, don't you guys think it's hot? And he says, yeah, well, it's hot in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So he did his part. I want to do my part to let him know that I support him. And it's just like, that's powerful that someone has that perspective. It's just like, however hot we think it is here, it's hotter over there.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it, too, and is that there was rumors of protest for this man's funeral, and to know that there were people going to say, oh no, not on our watch. Mm-hmm. Oh no, that's not going to happen. You know, we're not going to allow this man to go down like that. There's no way. He's a hero. He's a patriot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've seen that many American flags. I mean, huge American flags. That's what just drew me. Besides the fire engine I saw at first, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And I saw crowds of people. Then all of a sudden, I saw this red, white, and blue, red, white, and blue. And just something about looking at the flag and just being around people that say, hey, listen, you know, this is a great place to live. And you know, we got to fight for it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to maintain it. And it's so important. You know, there's I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. said that you're not fit to live until you're willing to die for something.
Right.
And there's very few things in life that there's worth dying for. You know, God, number one. You know, a spiritual death is the hardest death that, you know, to die over a physical death. But you
know, really means death itself.
Death to self.
Yeah.
Yeah. Death to self. And also, you know, and it's honorable when people are willing to lay their life down for their country.
Yeah.
In military service. And also, you think about your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, oftentimes you can tell how important something is by the types of vicious attacks the devil launches at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look a little while. Like, Israel's a clue. Like,
oh yeah,
really, really? This little country that's smaller than the state of New Jersey, really? Really? They're the recipient of so much hate and so much attacks. Like, really, they've done all of this that deserves or merits this? Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Catch a clue. A person with zero spiritual discernment can say, something ain't right here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the family today. Families are coming under ferocious barrages from the devil. Just ferocious. And it's always been a challenge to raise children in a way that they should go. But today, the parents have a task like never before.
Right.
When you think about what parents have to do right now to raise up a children and raise up a family, the task is daunting. I mean, it really, really is. There was a time when parents had more influence and were able to keep negative influences out of their home. I mean, there was a time, think about it, where you had more influence in your home, you had less outside sources that were affecting what was going on the inside of you. This is your domain. Yeah. This is where you sleep, where you live, where you close the shades at night, where you know what I'm saying, relax in your home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And today it seems like your home, your family, your house, there's so many other influences that are pressing their agenda in your house. And you think about it, today, we don't just have the TV. I mean, we have cable, packages. Think about it. Yeah. I mean, cable packages. And it wasn't long ago. Listen, I remember as a child getting up, and I'm not that old, but I remember getting. I remember as a child.
A little gray hand,
No.
One, what's that white stuff on eight, your face?
Three, moving forward.
Four. Five.
Stop it. No. I remember not long ago when I was a young child getting up in the morning and waiting for something to be broadcast and watching snow or that countdown, you know,
yeah,
black and white glaze thing or whatever it was,
yeah,
waiting, mm-hmm, waiting for them to turn on the television, if you will, turn on the program.
Remember they'd shut it off at midnight and, yes, you hear the Star Spangled Banner. You knew that's it.
After
this,
TV's over.
It's, yeah, just, it's gone.
TV's over.
There used to be a time when TV was not 24 hours.
Absolutely. And that was it. When it was over, it was over. When it was, yeah, done, it was done. I mean, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go there. Another story, another time. But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing how, you know, I grew up in Jersey, you know, and I was watching all these shows like Little House on the Prairie and all this type of stuff. I was amazed. I'm like, people live like that? They have a, yeah, house? And, I mean, that was a foreign concept to me, like to see that type of, you know, acreage and all of that. I was, yeah, a child. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing what TV can do, especially, mm-hmm, on the mind of a young child. But today we have cable packages. We have channels that are programming everything under the sun.
Thousands of channels.
Yeah. It's not.
Literally.
Listen, the programming is not even just offensive to God. My goodness, it's offensive to most people. I mean, most people get offended by half of the stuff that's being aired on regular TV. Listen, there, mm-hmm, was a day that you couldn't even hear a foul language on TV.
Mm-mm.
It was censored.
Mm-hmm.
And now the type of stuff that's said on regular TV,
yeah,
it just goes by. And it's just, you see there's been a huge shift. Children are watching hours of this type of stuff. And that's why they call the television a program. It's programming them. It's programming your child. It's a program.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting hours and hours and hours in front of a television program. It's programming the way they think about themselves, programming, wow, how they think about culture, what's normal, what's, yeah, acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You had musicians and songs that glorify all forms of sin, showing all types of sexually charged content. I remember years ago when I gave my life to the Lord, and I was just like everyone, I guess, who doesn't serve God. I was a sinner. I was all into all kind of worldly music, loved videos and all that type of stuff. And I had just given my life to the Lord, and I remember the Lord speaking to me during my abiding time, and he says, those videos that you're watching, that's your umbilical cord to the world. And until you cut that umbilical cord, you're going to continue to struggle with things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I realized that God was right. Imagine that.
That's right.
And I was visualizing and seeing everything that was happening in the world, what the culture supposedly was cool and all this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had visual now. Videos give you a visual of what these songs are saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you think about it, it's like, are we serious? One day we'll talk about that testimony, but about the power of music.
Oh, yeah.
But you talk about musicians and songs that glorify all this type of stuff. Now there's videos, the imagery, and even the so-called good programming, children's programming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have programs today that show children being rebellious to their parents, you know, beating up their siblings like it's normal, like, mm-hmm, it's expected. This is what a child does. And it's like, what is that?
Yeah.
What you know, they're screaming at their parents, they're dogging out the mm-hmm, father, dogging out the mother, tearing down authority. And children are under so much pressure today in school that they want to mimicking and copying all this type of stuff that they see on television just to fit in, just so they have some sort of opportunity to be relevant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now they are talking about, oh, yeah, did you see when the guy smacked his dad or something? Like, what in the world is that? How is that even acceptable? We don't only have the television, but the internet. The internet has exploded. Listen, the internet in the last 5 years, in the last 3 or 4 years, wasn't even what the internet has been since the time it began.
Yeah.
The fact that you can have the internet on your mobile phone now just as fast, and if not faster, than most people have Wi-Fi. My understanding, there's some people that still don't even have a Wi-Fi because their old their houses were built in such a way mm-hmm. that the signals don't even go through. Mm-hmm. So you have cell phones that move faster, LTE move even faster than some people's Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And you can stream video. The thing about it is that most people don't realize it would take certain things for granted, but if you understood and young people that when the internet first came out, I mean, it took a day just to send a picture. The fact that you can stream a video and you're a little upset that it's buffering for a couple of seconds, you understand? That is amazing.
Or it's a little yeah. pixelated.
Yeah, that's amazing. The fact that you're able to do that, much less do it on a phone.
Yeah.
But what that means is that they have tremendous access. You have social media now that glorifies self, where these children are becoming so narcissistic. You know, children. Some adults too, but we'll just focus on children right now. We become so narcissistic, posting their every second day-by-day play of what they do, mm-hmm. and it's just become so focused on self, glorifying the kingdom of self.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to be all about glorifying the kingdom of God. So you have, think about all these outside influences that are influencing your home, your children, your family, and it's like, wait a minute, what's going on? It matters. It matters who your children's friends are.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the family. We're talking about the nucleus, the home. We're talking about raising children. We're talking about, my goodness, we got to get a pulse and deal with what's reality. Today, parents are, today, you know, you have a lot of times two parents working today.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't always the case. For many years, you only had one parent working. But now, there's two parents that they're not. You know, before it was preference just to have an extra money. Now it's almost taking two parents just to pay bills. Just to pay bills. Forget wants. Forget right. the extras. Which means a lot of children are home. They're by themselves. You know, and a lot of them become undisciplined. They don't have direction or supervision a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And then you have other outside influences. And you can do the best job. Here's the thing. You can do the best job of trying to raise your child and raise your kid and keeping them from certain things and certain influences. But if your child still lives in this world, I mean, if they go to school, hello. If they go outside their house and play, hope they do, you know, they're going to meet other children. And, you know, oftentimes mm-hmm. you think, well, this child, not only be concerned about whether the child that your children are playing with age-appropriate children. Oftentimes people think that that's cool, that a young child is always hanging out with an older child. That means your child's going to learn a lot of things faster. But you want to have age-appropriate children. But only that, if your child's friend has an older brother or sister, rest assured that child is learning a whole lot more stuff yeah. really quick and rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of my background, you know, I've worked for the Department of Juvenile Justice. I've worked for foster homes. I've worked as a youth pastor. I've had Bible clubs in public schools, Next Step Outbacks, following some camping trips. I've worked with quite a bit of young people
mm-hmm.
from all different kind of dimensions. I've been in a whole bunch of homes and talked with parents and experiences myself
mm-hmm.
that it's not easy raising a family. It's amazing you have all this education for all this other stuff, but you don't get that much training when it comes to raising children. And what we do have is the Word of God and it's good, and we need to be dependent upon the Lord, but it takes a relationship to raise them. But a family,
mm-hmm.
a family, what we're getting to is that a family today needs to be led.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are calling family just a group of people living in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a mother there, there's mm-hmm. a father there, there's a couple of kids there, and they're saying, we have a family. No, right now you have a group of people living in your house. But what makes a family?
Mm-hmm.
What makes a family?
Yeah,
you gotta almost redefine that word today because the culture is trying to redefine what family is.
Exactly.
And you got to say, what is family? What is family today? And a family, having a family, doesn't just happen. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be cultivated. It needs to be loved and led. It just doesn't happen, especially today, especially when all these different things are in. The devil loves just brings his influence to overpower the parents' influence. When we come back, we're going to talk about, when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about making sure that your family's on the right page.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the family on the right page. Families are not on the right page, you'll suffer the consequences for it.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. What religious rights do city employees have in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work as a garbage collector, and in the truck that we drive, we have a two-way radio, which communicates to our control. I was told that I am not allowed to say half of less Z on the radio. I was told that if I continue to do this, I would be fired for making such a statement.
It depends on the policies of the company, but a lot of these companies will have this overreaction to something like have a blessed day because they think somehow they're going to get sued by creating a hostile religious, you know, environment or a workplace environment, and that's just not the case. So what we normally do in a situation like this is we get it resolved by dealing with the employer and telling them, look, if an employee makes a statement as benign as God bless you, that should not create a constitutional crisis.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Come follow me. Come follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. What does that mean? It means to be a disciple. It means to follow him. Listen to Francis Chan as he talks about the reality of today's church, and we have to begin to change ourselves and begin to follow him. I'll tell you more about it after Francis. Listen up.
You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you're a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was some physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth.
Just think about it. You think about it. Although it's kind of funny, it's kind of true, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 7:22-23, he said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then he'll say, and he'll tell them plainly, he says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, we have to know him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to abide with him. Apart from abiding him, it's impossible to do what's required of us and expected of us. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. Listen, we have a plan for you. A simple abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your free plan today. That's at iabide.org. www.vfw.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. And in the studio today is Pat and Steve. We're talking about family. Listen, nothing like a good one, nothing like a bad one, but you got to have good family, right? Mm-hmm. You got to have family. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about all the influences that parents are dealing today with raising family and what we can do to keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important.
Right.
It's so important. Because if we keep our eyes on everything else, I mean, today people are lost in their jobs. They're lost in, you know, recreational activities. Mm-hmm. They're lost in television programs. They're running home just to watch TV. And you drive across any home today in America,
the TVs are on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just everybody's focusing on everything but the family.
Every light in the house is on.
Mm-hmm.
Shades are pulled down, and what you don't see are lights. You see TV moving flashes.
Yeah, right.
TV's on. You're watching TV, whether on the iPad, or on the computer, and they're all in different rooms.
Mm-hmm. Separated.
And then they crash and they go to bed, and you wake up the next day, and it's like parents are off to work before the kids get up. And they could go literally 2 or 3 days without even seeing their own kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or talking to them or finding out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And God bless parents. You got to work. You got to do what you got to do. You got to take care of the family. You got to take care of your home. If you're a single parent, Lord knows you need a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of help. But that's why it's important that a family needs to be led.
Right.
It needs to be cultivated. It needs to come together in unity. And you think about a book, for instance. Imagine a book. And what would it be like if each of your family was on a different page of a book? I mean, you're all trying to be in the same story, but you're all on a different page. One person's on the first page, the other person's on the page 85, the other person's on page 32, and it's like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we here? What's going on? They're on different pages. What does that look like? I mean, it's like...
it's chaos.
Chaos.
There's no harmony.
Can't communicate. Nobody's...
yeah, you got confusion. Yeah. You got
Everybody's doing their own thing.
Everybody's doing their own thing. I mean, is that not what's happening at large?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's doing their own thing. And a lot of times parents today are playing defense. I mean, they're just trying to catch up. They're just playing defense and not playing a good offense. House is all out of order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all out of order. And listen, your family, I don't care what anyone's ever told, your family is worth fighting for.
Yeah,
it really is. Your family's worth fighting for. You know, right now, society, parents, you know, it's not optional. It's like, you know what? Hey, we don't, you know, we some school districts think that the teachers know best. You know what I'm saying? And no, you're the parents. But the house is out of order. In Christian homes, I mean, the mother's trying to run the show. It's like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. We've pushed aside men and fatherhood. Is like they're not important. And there's no honoring anymore. There's no order anymore. And it's like, listen, we got to get back to order the way God says it.
Mm-hmm.
There's an order in the home. There's an order. And if we operate outside that order, we're going to suffer the consequences for it.
That's right.
I mean, catch a clue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible is very clear on the things it does says about family, about raising children. And if we ignore the word of God, then we're going to see the consequences in our life. Not a good idea to ignore the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how can you lead your family? Got to get everyone on the same page. Got to get everyone on the same page. And you look at your same page, what are some of the things, some even practical things? I mean, listen, some of the things that we're sharing here today, without Jesus Christ, none of this is going to help. None of this is going to work.
All right.
But we got to start talking about it.
Yeah.
We got to start discussing it. Somebody's got to talk about it. We got to make it plain. There's nothing like being in tune with reality, what's real. There was a famous executive, and before he made a decision, he'd have all these, and it's a company that owned a bunch of companies. And they would bring all these people in. I believe it was Jack Welch or GE. And he'd bring all these leaders in. And the first thing he'd tell them, before they told him anything, what's reality? What's real?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you don't move from what's real, it doesn't matter what solution you have, what's whatever. What's reality? Not what someone's opinion. What's reality? What is the real deal? What are the true facts? What is happening? And I'm amazed at how so many people just want to live in fantasy.
Yeah. their own false reality, because they don't want to admit or acknowledge the reality that they don't like.
It's an illusion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an illusion. Your family's falling apart, sir. It's not about the extra bonus. It's not about more shopping or whatever. Get back to the home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids need us. Family needs you. And you look about what are your family's governing values. I mean, what keeps our country together is the fact that the country has a constitution. I mean, mm-hmm. we have governing values in this country. It's a constitution that says when we elect the president, he's our president no matter what. He's our president. And that constitution keeps the peace, because we can always go back and say, this is the constitution.
Right.
You need like a constitution in your home. You need everyone on the same page.
Right.
You need to look back and say, look, this is what we want. This is the vision for this family.
Yeah.
You know, we need a vision. And one of the things is that, listen, today, you're not going to accomplish anything unless you have a team. You know, not one person in the family can do everything. Mm-hmm. Give me a break.
Mm-mm.
It requires a family to function as a team. And you like that word, the acronym, each letter of that word, team, together, everyone achieves more. You're not going to achieve anything with everyone going their own way. The family's not going to move any forward motion. And we can achieve more for God if we're all focusing in the family structure as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be led,
mm-hmm.
but when you work together.
Right.
Togetherness. You know, what's a family if there's no love? I'm talking about biblical love, not selfish, you know, so biblical love, right? Hello, that's a good governing value to have. Unity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on now. Can we just get along?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just get along? If you have kids in there and you have people that just, some homes become so strifeful. It sounds like common sense, because it probably is. It is common sense. But we got to talk about it. Some homes are just so strifeful. And the children are just so going at it, and the parents are going at it, you know, and they're listening to strife and watching strife on TV. Mm-hmm. It's just a spirit of strife in that home.
Yeah.
No one's lined up. No one's doing the right thing. And there's no unity. It's just totally chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Humility. Listen, we don't have any humility in our lives, and in our, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Peace is a good one. Peace.
Right.
Many people, listen, there's a lot of people that stay out later and work hard and find other places to go after work because there's no peace in their home.
Yeah, right.
Last place they want to go is go home.
That's a sad, ma'am. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. There's no peace in home. Maybe that's why he's not coming home. It's got to be peace, sir. Mm-hmm. Maybe. That's why she keeps shopping. Everything you're saying.
Yeah, right.
Again, another thing, again, you know, like, come on, we got to have peace.
Mm-hmm. Kids always gone. Kids don't want to come home.
Yeah.
Always asking to eat dinner somewhere else.
World War III going on at the house every night. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to sit around and watch that all day.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Stewardship. I mean, today's like, what is that word? What does that mean? You're trying to raise a family today? It's like, hello, it takes everybody to be the manager of this house. I mean, everybody's got to watch this stuff. Everybody's got to look at the stuff. Dogs got to be fed. Things got to be picked up. You know what I'm saying? Lights got to be turned off. It's like this. You think about a home and a house. Listen, it just doesn't exist. It takes everyone coming together, being on the same page, understanding what are we doing here? Are we just strangers? Are we just calling ourselves family?
Because
there's a group of people living here and we have an address.
Just because we're sitting at the same table and got the same last name doesn't mean that we're family.
Come on now.
We all got to work together, and we got to know the fact that, like you're saying, it's worth fighting for.
Yeah. Faithfulness.
Yeah.
Be faithful in all your ways and everything. And these are just some things that we're throwing out, but you got to come up with what's important in your family.
Yeah.
What can everybody get on the same page about? I mean, listen. Just because you put it down doesn't mean everybody's going to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that you have something to point to. And when you're off the page, you know you're off the page. See, look, this the page says this right now.
Right.
You're not on our page. I don't know what page you're on, but you're not on our page.
Right.
You got to get on the right page, the family page.
Mm-hmm.
You know what family stands for? Forget about me, I love you. That's what family stands for. Forget about me, I love you.
Yeah.
Everyone's fighting for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not picking it up. I'm not cleaning that. I'm not just like...
Not my turn.
Not my turn.
Yeah. You know, when you say family, I think about the power of just having that simple family time and how powerful it is for children who are always spending time with friends or school or they're working and they come home. And like you're talking about, you know, one goes into their room, listens to their iPad, or one goes into their office. And it's just like, do you have that time? Not just at the dinner table, but sit at the family room. Get a cup of coffee.
Dinner table, does that even happen anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you have that time where the everyone that is in that family, that you are talking, you are opening, and you're transparent with one another? And if not, start there where you can begin to make that change.
Listen, right now things are so chaotic. That like I said earlier, parents are just on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in crisis management mode. It's like crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis.
Right.
And the reason you're putting out fires all the time and you're trying to go from crisis mode and you're happy if there's a one day of peace is because you're focusing on crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You're not focusing on leadership. You're not focusing on pointing a vision for having a peaceful home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the people say that, you know, happy wife makes a happy life. Come on, it takes all of us to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody, the whole family. And you know what? Not everyone's going to be happy. It's not about pleasing everybody's flesh. And I just said that, just say that. But it takes everybody.
Mm. Yeah.
It takes everybody. It's not about me, right? Because families forget about me. I love you. It's about the betterment of the family as a whole. It's the betterment of what God's called us to do. And one of the key governing values that you need to have in your home is God. I mean, if God is not at the forefront of your home, you got to have God. I mean, really have God in the forefront of what does that mean? That means that God is the chief resident of this house.
Yeah.
This is his house, in fact. We're just guests.
Right.
And if God is the chief resident of our home, then we're going to act right. We're going to talk right. We're going to do things that are not going to offend him because we're in his space. He's not in our space. You know what I'm saying? We're in his space.
Mm.
That means we're gonna lift him up in our home. We're gonna do things the right way by his grace. You know, mothers and fathers have to line up, parents have to line up, children have to line up. But as a parent, how can you legitimately expect your children to line up under you if you refuse to line up under God?
Come on.
I mean, what realistic expectation can that be?
Mm-hmm.
What realistic expectation? You know, we can't live like that. Listen, God needs to return back in our own hearts and in our homes before we can ever start talking about putting God up at the workplace and putting God up in this place. Is like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
God's not even in your home, but you want to tell me what you can preach and teach in my school or in your workplace or in the courthouse? More concerned about having the Ten Commandments in the courthouse in your heart about having the Ten Commandments in your own home.
Mm.
Hello? That's backwards.
Yeah.
They're not going to do what you say. They're just going to do what you do.
Oh, yeah.
So true.
Remember that commercial?
Oh, yeah. The boy says, the boy's looking at stuff, and it's an old school commercial.
Yeah.
That he's getting into drugs, and actually the father walks in and takes finds a box of drug paraphernalia, and he says, "Where'd you get this? Where did you get this?" And the boy's sitting in the bed. And he goes, he looks up and says, "I learned it from you." And the father's like,
Do you say to that?
What do you say to that?
You can't say nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. And
so often, too, it's just like, I mean, I've done it myself, too, when you're trying to share principles or you're trying to share ideas or whatever, and you're saying it over and over again, and it's that moment when somebody says, "Okay, well, when are you going to do it? You're telling me to do it, but you're not living it out."
Yeah, you're contradicting your own words.
Yeah. You know, and somebody once told me that people don't show up so that you can tell them what to do. they show up so that they can watch you what to do. Because people are going to come and they're going to listen to how you live your life. Because what how you live speaks louder than any word you can ever say.
That's so true. And especially in a family where it's all in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm. You're out there.
It's all in front of everybody. What should cause every person to live in humility. Exactly. And every believer to walk in humility and realize, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And that you foster an environment that you know allows people to make mistakes. It allows people to ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness, and allows people to get back up and try again. You know, you're not going to hit it every time. You're just not.
Mm-mm.
But when you fail forward,
mm-hmm.
fail repenting. You know, fail acknowledging that this was wrong, and publicly doing that is a good thing, especially amongst your family. If they saw it, you might as well go ahead and apologize in public.
That's right. Because
they saw it.
Yeah.
That's right.
They heard it.
Right. And they'll learn from your humility.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, one of the things that will help your child to respond right is when you show them how to respond right, because you've mirrored that. We're talking That's about right. having a family being on the right place. Having a family being on the right page today, with so many things happening and so many things vying for our attention and our children's attention and to influencing, we got to be able to raise a family as believers that are going to glorify the Lord. Our focus doesn't need to be outside of our home if our home's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just nonsense. We got to get our home right. Home has to be right, and everybody has to be on the right page. Has to be on the right page. And you can't force people into compliance. You can't make them. But what you can do is you can lead them the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And you also show them the consequences of disobeying God. You know, I mean, if folks go outside of what God has instituted and what God wants to happen, then they're going to suffer the consequences for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I love what Joshua said. So as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're sure going to aim at it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you want to have everyone going in the right direction. Listen, the enemy is the author of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Get the chaos out. Get the strife out. Get them demonic channels out. Get all that stuff out of your house that's stirring up trouble and strife and sin and selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down. Throw a hammer in the TV if you got to. Throw it out. Serious. Mm-hmm. Get it out.
Yeah.
Get it out. Where you can say, listen, we're going to bring it back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to honor the Lord. Talking about the Christian home, we're going to honor the Lord here. And we're going to do everything that we can to glorify God. And we're going to get on the right page.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
When God begins to do something, he establishes it with more than one witness. As a matter of fact, you'll begin to hear, as it's amazing, like a choir of those who are listening to God. You'll hear them begin to cry out the same thing the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah, you're going to have probably more naysayers in that type of situation. But listen, how could they know? How could they know what God's saying simultaneously? The very same thing, unless the same God, same Lord, and same Spirit revealed it to them.
Right.
You know, and there is hope for America. There is hope, but you're the hope. The church, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know, there is a way, and it's a very specific way, to be able to bring America back to the cross, to bring it back to the cross. As a matter of fact, right now, Steve Hill's talking to Peter Wagner, and he's asking the very same question. What should the message be? I'll be right back.
What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival. And I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches, and churches multiplying in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society, leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission, where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking.
You think about this. That's exactly what we're doing at VFN. It's a rapid church planting movement. Obviously, when you begin to move from what was to what is, it takes a while for everything to adjust, but it's like exponential growth. If you understand what God does, it takes a little bit. You know, Jesus started with his one, then he started with his three, he started with his 12, he had his 72, and it progressively grew. And the multitude we see today is because Jesus followed the Father. Are you ready to follow the Father and the leadership of the Son? Are you ready to lay down your life, get on the cross, and begin to say, you know what, it's a rapid church planting movement. It is the church, rightly related, rightly connected, discipled, functioning in the context of the Great Commission. But I'm telling you, I totally agree with Peter Wagner, and I totally agree with Steve Hill, that the hope for America is the church, because the hope of glory is Christ in you. And that's what bring it about. Listen, if you want to know more, go to vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org. There's VFNU to train you up and launch you out. There's foundational aspects of building your basic discipleship in Jesus Christ, you know, getting and finding out what it's like to be family instead of an organization. Because listen, if we're going to move as family, you know, we got to be family. Family is what holds us together. You can't be an institution and family at the same time. It's called confinement, but you can be family. You're together because you want to be together, because you love God and you love each other. Find out more at vfnfamily.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories. Welcome back. BFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Family, forget about me. I love you. I love you. Listen, parenting and raising a family and raising children, that's hard work. Mm. It sure ain't for wimps. Mm-mm. And no one's perfect at it. You need a lot of grace and a whole lot of prayer and a whole lot of crying out to God.
Amen.
But if you don't even attempt to lead it, you won't have it. And the first part of leading it is making sure that you're leading yourself as a parent, that everybody's in the right place and in the right order of where everyone's supposed to be. But if you're out of order and you're chaotic, let me tell you something, that stuff's going to trickle right back down.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that you have all these governing values in your family, but if God is not the center of your home and he's not your number one value, don't expect that to happen in your home. Listen, start with a simple abiding plan. If you're not abiding, start to abide. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org and begin to abide. And as you're abiding and God's speaking to you, listen, it'll progress. God will share with you wisdom and guidance and correction and direction. And then it'll come to a point where maybe the rest of the family can begin to abide. And then you can come to abide with the family and let God be back at the center of that home. Will you share what God is sharing with you, prayer requests for that week, and also praise reports, what God has done. And it's a way of kind of recalibrating the whole week again and starting it afresh and consecrating it for God. Let me tell you something. Get everybody on the right page.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about, Steve, servants. Mm. Servants of God, talk to us, man. Yeah. What's the Lord showing you?
Well, I've just been digging in through the bait of Satan and letting God dig through me and getting the pride out of my life. And it's just this
book. The Bait of Satan, that's a book from...
This is the book by John Bevere.
And John Bevere.
I read through this book and it was just like, there was just so much in it. And when I was getting to the end of it, I'm like, man, I just want to go through it again. And, totally answer prayer at the end. John Bevere has like a daily devotional, and each day he goes back through a section of the book and then picks out pieces of it. And it's just powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning of the book, we revisit the life of Joseph. And when God's speaking to you about pride, there's nothing more humbling than when you are going through a life of Joseph who lived a life of humility. Mm. And God was just, I mean, just convicting me when I thought about how so many people wronged him. And it was like I was getting offended at what they did to Joseph. You know?
How did you do that to Joseph?
And it was like reading that the story, and it's not just a story. I mean, like, these things really happened, mm-hmm. and the injustices that were done to Joseph were just horrible. And mm-hmm. it was just like, how could they?
Yeah.
And as I continue reading, and this is in The Bait of Satan by John Bevere, and just listening to the things that were done to Joseph, this is what John Bevere writes. He says, let's see how Joseph would fare in our churches today. And that's who we're talking to. We're talking to the church. He says, if he were like most of us, do you know what he would be doing? Plotting revenge. He would comfort himself with such thoughts as, when I get my hands on them, I'll kill them. I'll kill them for what they've done to me. They're going to pay for this. But if Joseph had actually had this attitude, God would have left him in that dungeon to rot. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the story, Joseph was taken to prison because of a false accusation, and he was in prison for 2 years. But because he was humble, there was a time when he was taken out of that prison. So God says God would have left him in that dungeon to rot. That's because if he had gotten out of prison with this motive of getting justice or getting back, he would have killed the heads of 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm. This would include Judah, from whose lineage Christ would descend. Mm. And at that I stopped and I was like, wait a second. I'm like, these are the 12 tribes of Judah. These are his brothers. And that's exactly
12 tribes of Israel.
I'm sorry, yes, 12 tribes of Israel. And then John Bevere continues. He says, yes, the ones who treated Joseph so wickedly were the patriarchs of Israel. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I just stopped and God just gripped me. He says, I want you to think about this. He says, mankind, and this is what I was asking, and this is what God said to me. He said, mankind is my pottery wheel that I will use to shape and form you. It is my instrument to perfect you. Does it really matter who's alongside you, regardless of their status in the world? And it's just like, the patriarchs of Israel, his brothers at that time, were being used to shape Joseph. And when you read in Jeremiah 25, God talks about using Nebuchadnezzar mm-hmm. to shape Judah because they were being rebellious to God's ways. And God used Nebuchadnezzar to bring injustice, to bring hardship, to bring destruction. But then also he corrected and he destroyed Nebuchadnezzar for bringing hardship against Judah. And God just reminded me about that scripture of, you know, we being the clay, Do we question the potter? And it's in Romans 9. And Romans 9:16, it says, you know, does the clay talk back to the one who formed him? And it's just like, we have to submit ourselves to the one who's forming us. Mm. We have to submit ourselves knowing the fact that God's in control. And it's just like thinking about Jesus. In Hebrews 5, 7, it says, during the day of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Are we submitting to that control of God working on us in our lives? And it continues on in verse 8. He says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Joseph learned obedience from what he suffered.
Can you imagine that all of that offense, if he would have get caught up, goes to show me, as you're sharing all this, Steve, is that we can't be so quick to be offended because, you know what? We're actually being offended with what God is using.
Exactly.
You know? Listen, it all depends who you catch. Some people, you caught the 12 tribes of Israel on a bad day, in a bad season, but they became the 12 tribes. And you know what? That was when they offended, and then God did something in their life. Mm. Listen, you're not going to be free from offending someone. You know, at some point in your life, you will offend somebody. So, mm-hmm. with the same measure that you want to receive, you got to receive others and realize that. Wait a second, the bigger picture is not about what somebody horizontally did to me, but the big picture is that God allowed them to do it to me. Mm. God, what do you want to do in my life?
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, "Hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Steve, I got great news.
Tell me.
Did you know that there's an app on how to build a fire?
Really?
There's an app? Yes, there's an app on how to build a fire. Okay.
I need that one. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, you do. You definitely need that one.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's free. Don't cost you nothing. I'm going to hook you up. But guess what else there's an app for?
Drying the wood.
Nope. VFN Radio.
Nice.
Does it matter if you have an iPhone? Does it matter if you have a Droid? VFN Radio has an app for that. All you need to do is go to your app store and search VFN TV. And hit download, and it's VFN Radio on the go. So no matter if you're at home, no matter if you're in the car, you're at the beach, you're at the park, you can stay plugged in, you can be encouraged, and you have so much access to so much more. Download the app now, VFN TV.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.